Have you gone through a storm recently? A hardship, a trial, something difficult? Right? I think when you look at this last year plus, probably all of us have gone through some kind of storm. Whether it was as simple as I was stuck at home and wasn't really able to see friends and family members and feeling isolated and lonely, or I lost a loved one, I lost multiple loved ones, I got sick, I was hospitalized, I had issues in real important relationships, maybe marriage problems, maybe relationships with kids. A lot of stuff just blew up. A lot of stuff blew up in this past year, and I think a lot of us have gone through trials recently, and obviously even in the past, and many of us are probably going through one or two right now. Let me ask you something. How do you respond? How did you respond in your most recent trial? What came out of you? Was it all good? Was it all bad? Was there some good? Was there some bad? Where did you run in the midst of that last trial? What did you run to, or who did you run to? Because see, Jesus is going to emphasize that in this text through this story. Jesus is going to help the disciples understand where they should run in the midst of a trial. When they're faced with a storm, how they should respond, and ultimately who they should cling to. He's going to try to help them understand that they should cling to him and him alone in the midst of their storms. I titled this message, Clinging to Christ Through Storms. Clinging to Christ Through Storms. When we're faced with storms in life, hardships, trials, whatever the case may be, struggles, we all have our own personal coping mechanisms. And some of them are based on personality. Some of us aren't as overwhelmed as others, but all of us can get to the point of being overwhelmed. But all of us, when we face that moment where we're at that loss, whatever that thing was in our life, that circumstance, that situation that brought us to that place of brokenness, we had a choice to make. And we continue to have choices to make. Some of us use different coping mechanisms. Some of us run to family members and friends. Some of us run to drugs. Some of us, you know, try to you know, pretend the situation didn't happen and kind of harden our hearts. But the only way we're going to truly be successful in walking through storms and overcoming trials is if we cling to Jesus. That's the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. And he shows us the way to walk through storms in this text. Let's look at it. It's Mark chapter 4, verse 35. We'll just read the story, then we'll break it down. He says, on the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, the disciples, let us cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him? Amazing story. But I want to look back at the first verse. Verse 35, he says, On the same day. Now, this is the same day that he taught a bunch of parables, okay? He was teaching them parables about the kingdom. He was teaching them about what kind of faith he was looking for in an individual so that they could enter into the kingdom of God. He was teaching them all about faith. He was teaching them the word of God because he was trying to prepare them on that same day with the word of God for the storm that was getting ready to come. This is point number one. The word of God prepares us for storms. The word of God prepares us for storms. Jesus Christ, speaking the word of God, was preparing the disciples for this storm. He knew it was coming, right? In Romans 10:17, it says, So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As we're in the word of God, as we hear the word of God, as we read the word of God, as we understand the word of God, Bible says it produces faith in us. So Jesus was just teaching them this same day, parable after parable after parable. Why? To produce faith in them. To prepare them for this trial that they were getting ready to face. This intense trial they were getting ready to face. This is what Jesus does. He tries to teach us and equip us for the storms we're going to face in life. And we got a choice to make. We can listen or we can close our ear. And I've had it before where you know, I did the whole pretend like Jesus didn't say that thing. And then you go through the storm and you're like, oh my gosh, it really happened. Now I'm in trouble. I should have just listened. If I just listened, I might not have even gotten in the storm, you know. Or I would have been better prepared. But Jesus tries to get the truth across to us so that we're ready. He's trying to prepare us. He knows what's ahead and we don't. So it's important that we listen. It's important that we're in the Word. It's important that we're hearing the Word and reading the Word and understanding the Word so that we're ready for the trials of life that are to come. He says to them, when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. So he didn't just teach them the Word. He gave them a promise. He said, we're going to cross over to the other side. Let us cross to the other side. That's a promise. He's saying, we're going to get there. Do you trust Jesus when he says, I'm going to get you to the other side of this? I'm going to get you through this. Do you believe Jesus will get you through the storms you walk through? Because sometimes we go through storms. Is this ever going to end? You know? Is this how things are always going to be? Am I always going to feel this pain? Am I always going to feel this grief? Is life always going to be like this for me now? But do you trust him when he says, I'm going to get you to the other side of this thing? That's a promise. I'm going to get you through this. Okay? I know you're in the middle of it, but this isn't the end of it. But it's not just a promise, it's also a command. Why? Because in order for them to get to the other side, they had to get in the boat, okay? They couldn't get to the other side if they didn't get in the boat. So Jesus is inviting them to be a part of this experience with him. Get in the boat and let's get to the other side. The disciples had to follow Jesus and get into that boat with him. Now, surely if they knew what was coming, they probably wouldn't have gotten the boat. But he says, listen, get in the boat. Let's get to the other side. It's helping us understand even further what this whole faith thing looks like. It's not just hearing the word, but also doing what Jesus calls us to do. It's applying the words of Jesus Christ. It's responding to that still small voice that says, this is the way, walk in it, and walking in it. See, faith comes by hearing the word, but transformation comes from living it out. That Jesus was inviting the disciples on an adventure with him, an adventure that would result in their lives being radically transformed, and not just their lives, but the lives of many others that would come through their ministry. But they had to do what he was asking them to do, get in the boat. In Matthew 7:24, Jesus, after he teaches the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about the difference between the wise man and the foolish man. And he says, he who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And he says, when the winds descended and the flood came, that storm came, what happened? That man's house stood, right? He's preparing the disciples for storms there too, okay? How do we prepare for storms? We hear the word, we do the word. We do what Jesus is asking us to do. That doesn't mean the storm isn't going to come. The storms are going to come, but we're just better prepared for them. We got the house built on the rock, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the rock. He's our sure foundation. It's building our lives on him. And he says, here, just listen to what I say and do it. And you're going to be all right through the storms. It might be hard, but still, you're going to be left standing at the end of that storm. So the disciples, they had to get in the boat with Jesus even to experience this adventure with him. It says here in verse 36, now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him, and a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. So Jesus led them straight into a storm. He taught them the word of God. He got them in the boat, and he led them right into a storm. This is point number two. Jesus tests our faith to grow our faith. Jesus tests our faith to grow our faith. It's James 1, verses 2 to 4. James 1, 2 to 4, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing at the knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James, the half-brother of Jesus, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because he saw how the Lord used trials in his life to produce patience in him, to perfect him. That's the Greek word teleos. It means to mature him in his faith, to mature us in our faith. How can our faith in Christ be matured if it's not tested? It's got to be tested to be refined. It's got to be tested to be matured. He's testing their faith to perfect them, to mature them. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we see the result of this, the end goal. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, it says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, he's transforming us into his image. He brings trials into our life so we look more like Jesus, so that we look more like him. It's easy to love someone that's lovable. Okay? It's harder to love someone that's unlovable. It's easy to forgive someone of something small, but how can we learn the forgiveness of Christ if we're not challenged to forgive someone for something that was big, something that was bad, something that was really hurtful, that was done to us? So when we're walking through trials, we recognize, wait, what's the character of Christ look like in this trial? Because that's the character that he's trying to produce in me in this trial, whether it be patience or love or kindness or gentleness or joy, whatever fruit of the Spirit or character of Christ it might be. Because it's easy sometimes. It's easy to be a good Christian in the comfort of a church, right? But what about when we're going through a storm, right? Do you guys all look the same in the church that as you do when you go through a storm? Not always, right? Not always. No, when the storms come, hey, when we have a nice barbecue, it's a little cold outside, little bit uncomfortable, but when we go through real life stuff, is that character of Christ coming out of us? Because that's the whole point of it. That's why he brings it into our life, to refine that character, to mature that character. He says here in verse 38, I love this. It's probably my favorite part of the story, probably. There's a few favorite parts, but he says, but he was in the stern, verse 38, asleep on a pillow. Jesus is sleeping in the midst of this storm that the disciples think might kill them, okay? But he's still there with them, okay? This is point number three. Jesus is in the storm with us. Jesus is in the storm with us. He's right there with them. He's walking through this storm with them. He hasn't left them. He didn't jump ship. He didn't just walk on water and walk away. All right, peace, guys. just fly off back into heaven, he just went through it with them. Now he's sleeping, which shows us something about how we're called to walk through storms, not just sleep through them, but there's a point. Jesus is at perfect peace, He's showing him, you could be at perfect peace. When you got God, you could be at perfect peace in the midst of a storm. Jesus' faith in the Father and his humanity is revealed here. He knows the Father's getting him through this, right? He's still got a mission to fulfill. He's still going to cross this. Cross the Sea of Galilee. It's not over. Jesus is right there with him. He knows it's going to work, that all this is going to work out. In Romans 8:28, it says, and we know that God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Even the most painful things we experience, the most difficult things we experience, God is going to make them work together for our good. Sometimes that's hard to imagine, How can the death of a loved one, how can this broken relationship, how can this struggle with addiction, how can this situation with my friend, my family member, my child, my job, how can God use this? How could God possibly use this? He says he can and he will if we trust him. If we put our trust in him, he'll bring something good out of our worst situations. We trust that he's right there with us, walking alongside of us, doing it with us. He's going to bring out, he's going to bring about good. Okay. It says, they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So remember, at least four of these guys are professional fishermen, right? So they're on the sea all the time. This tells you the kind of storm that this is. These guys, the fishermen, you know, like I've been on many boats in my life, grew up in South Florida. My brother was a boat captain. He used to drive those 100-foot plus yachts. And I've been through some storms on water, and it can get scary. And it's like you're trying to drive fast out of them, and the water, the rain is like literally feels like bee stings. You know, the faster you go, the quicker you can get away from the storm if you could try to escape it. But the faster you go, the more it hurts. And even in Havasu, we're facing that, you know, wave coming over us, and it can be a little scary. Like, what's gonna happen, you know? But these guys, they're accustomed to water, and they literally, you don't care that this thing is gonna kill us. Like, this thing is literally going to carry us. They are terrified in the midst of this. This is point number four. Storms reveal our character. Storms reveal our character. When we face storms, trials in life, it reveals what's really there. What's in our hearts. Obviously, they're fearful, right? They don't trust Jesus' promise that they get to the other side. Why do you care that we're perishing? You know, there's part of them that must trust something because they're asking Jesus. But what they think they're going to die in this moment. We go through storms. It reveals what's really there. You know, sometimes we go through some outbursts of wrath. Anger can come out of us. You know, jealousy. You know, we get real nasty. We get real mean to people, you know. We get real fearful. But that's what's really in there, you know. When things are good, again, it's easy to act good. But when things are bad, what are those negative character qualities that come out of us? Because those are the negative character qualities that Jesus is going to address later on. But the disciples did something good here as well. When they were going through their storm, they talked to Jesus, okay? They went right to Jesus. They were driven to the feet of Jesus. And that's what we should always do in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our trials, our hardships. We got to come to Jesus. We got to talk to Jesus. Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." When you're getting to that point of anxiety, when you're getting to that point of fear, when I'm worried about tomorrow, when I'm worried about this, when I'm worried about that, when I'm worried about when the world is going to be normal again, if ever, like, when I'm worried about my job, when I'm worried about, you know, the job that I lost, the relationship that I lost, the friendship that I lost, the loved one that I lost. He says, when you get in those moments, he says, don't be anxious. Give it to the Lord. Cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. Give it to Jesus, okay? Because when we give our anxiety to Jesus, Jesus gives his peace to us, okay? When we give our anxiety to him, he gives his peace to us. That's what he's saying. Give that to him and he'll give you his peace. You could keep it for yourself, okay? But you're not going to get his peace. If you want his peace, you got to give that to him. Okay? Give the situation to him. Okay? Wait a minute. Again, remember Romans 8:28. Okay, I lost my job. God's got another open door for me. You know, maybe this relationship didn't work out. Maybe there's another one that does. There's some way. There's somehow some way God is going to use this thing in my life, and I got peace. Why? He's got me. Prince of Peace, he's got me. He's got me through this. He's going to work it all out some way, shape, or form. The peace of Christ produces a positive perspective. The peace of Christ, it produces a positive perspective. I know he's got me in this moment. Okay. So the disciples asked Jesus, are you going to do anything about the fact that we're going to die here? Do you even care? He says in verse 39, it says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and sea, and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This is the fifth final point. Storms reveal his character. They don't only reveal our character, they also reveal his character. When the storm came and the disciples came to him, the true him came out. What did he do? Took control of the situation. He said, "Peace, be still." He rebuked the winds and the waves. He showed them who he really was. He showed them, you can trust me. I told you I was going to get you through this. I told you I would get you to the other side. You can trust me. But that rebuke was not just for the winds and the waves. It was also for the disciples. Peace, be still, just as I was at peace, being still, lying at the stern of the boat. When you're in those trials, peace, be still, and know that he is God. So Jesus shows himself to the disciples. He shows them that he's worthy to be trusted. He shows them that they can truly put his faith in him. Where do we put our faith? Where do we put our hope in the midst of the trials? In Hebrews 6:19, it says this, this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters the presence behind the veil. This hope we have is an anchor. I love the illustration. It's an anchor. And if you've ever been on a boat, you know, if you, an anchor by itself, it won't hold the boat still. It's what you anchor the anchor in. Okay, you have to anchor into something sturdy, something strong, something that's going to hold that boat. Because if you anchor a boat in soft sand, that boat is going to drift away. But if you're anchored in the right thing, that boat is going to stay. The winds and the waves might move it a little bit, but it's going to stay. It's going to stay where it needs to stay. It's not going to drift away. When we're anchored in the right thing, we're not going to drift away. When we're anchored in Christ, we might be moved a little, but we won't be pushed down. We won't be destroyed. We won't drift off to wherever. The storm is not going to get the best of us when we're anchored in the right thing. He says here in verse 40, Mark 4:40, it says, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So now he's rebuking the disciples. Remember, taught them all day about faith, teaching about the parables of the kingdom. And then he says, where's your faith? Where's your faith? He's expecting their faith to be there. Now remember, Jesus is God also. He knew all this was going to happen before it happened, right? He knew he was going to teach them that day. He knew he was going to get on a boat. He knew the disciples were going to be in the boat with them. He knew the storm was going to happen. He knew what they were going to ask. He knew the whole thing. He knew that their faith would fail in this moment. He knew their faith would fail. But this was just practice for what they would face in the future. Okay? He was giving them a practice lesson. Okay? He was showing them that they could put his faith in him. That when he teaches them, he's preparing them. Take what he's teaching them so that they're prepared and apply it. This time, they didn't really apply it, okay? They didn't really trust what he was saying, okay? But in the future, they would. In the future, they would go through more difficult storms and they would apply his teachings. They would apply his words. They would apply his promises. Sometimes Jesus walks us through these many storms to prepare us for future storms. And sometimes Jesus walks us through many storms knowing that we're going to fail in those many storms. But he's got lessons even in the failure. And sometimes he teaches us lessons in the midst of our failure and the many storms so that we'll have success and greater success in the latter storms. So he says here in verse 41, it says, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and sea obey him? So they went from fear of their circumstances to fear of the Lord, right? They're afraid of their circumstances. Now they're terrified of Jesus. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? He controls the thing that controlled us. How is this? They realize that Jesus is bigger than their storm. Jesus was bigger than the thing they thought was going to kill him. He was bigger than their greatest fear. Jesus is bigger than our greatest fears. He's bigger than our biggest storms. And he'll show us that sometimes. He'll show up in the midst of the storm and reveal that to us. I'm bigger than this. He's bigger than what you're walking through right now. He's bigger than COVID. He's bigger than anything that we've ever faced. He's bigger than anything that we ever will face. But it's important we go from fear of circumstances, fear of whatever greatest fear that is, to fear of the Lord, like who he is and how powerful he is. It says, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So they recognize the wind and the sea obey him. If the thing that was more powerful than me obeys him. If the planets obey him, if the angels obey him, if the rivers, the oceans, the mountains, the birds, the beasts, if they all obey him, then who am I not to obey him? If things bigger than me can obey him and should obey him and do obey him, then I should obey him. This thing bigger than them obeyed him, and they recognize we need to obey him. He is the master. He is the creator. He is Lord. His love for us and our love for him should lead us to that place of obedience, recognizing who he is, recognizing his power, but recognize what he'll do with his power to show up in our darkest moments. He said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience is a result of our sincere love of God. So are you facing a storm right now, going through something, been going through something lately? How have you responded to it? How are you responding to it? I love this passage of Scripture because it's such a good reminder. It's such a good reminder. Just how powerful Jesus really is. How he can meet us right there in the midst of our storm. How even when some of the ugly stuff that comes out of us in storms come out, his true nature and his true character and his faithfulness also come out in the midst of storms. If we cling to him, if we pray to him, if we seek him, if we give him our fears, give him our anxieties and take his peace, we see the Prince of Peace for who he really is. Cling to Jesus. As we go through this season, all these different things that people are facing, I'll tell you, in the last year, had person after person. I've gone through my own stuff. And I've had person after person come to me going through stuff. Like the amount of people going through stuff, it's bigger than I've ever seen. And it makes some sense with COVID and everything that's happened. Okay? But we've got to remember that the key is always clinging to Jesus. It never changes. The answer never changes. It's always going to Jesus. Okay? He's the one that solves the problems. He's the one that gives us the solutions. He's the one that's always going to be there, that will never leave us nor forsake us, that makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for who you are and how you show up, Lord, how you show up always, even in times where we feel in over our heads, seasons where we're overwhelmed, seasons of sorrow and sadness, seasons of loss and tragedy, seasons of confusion and anxiety and fear. Lord, you're always there, God, and I pray that we would always remember that, that we would remember the past times that you showed up in our trials, Lord, and in our storms, and we would remember that you're faithful to always be there for us, God, to never leave us nor forsake us. And so I pray, Lord, that we would always see you, that we would look to you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help us to cling to you, no matter what we're going through. In Jesus' name, amen.